So many of you will know that I grew up in the conservative tradition of the church, and for that I am grateful. It gave me a knowledge of and a respect for Scripture, gave me an appreciation of the life and variety of faith, and though many of us in a more progressive place often struggle to connect with those from a differing tradition, a different way of seeing and being within the Christian tradition, I am fortunate that the experience I lived and breathed and embraced in the early part of my journey, and for those from that tradition who still teach me and challenge me and still inspire me, for that I am still grateful. But there are many ways in which I once saw the world that have changed. There are many different theological viewpoints I now embrace to that which I did. And there are many things which have faded from being quite the absolute focus of my understanding of faith, and other things which have come to the fore. And this is why I'm saying this, by the way. Christmas is one of those. I don't mean the celebration of Christmas. I've always celebrated Christmas. I've always loved the celebration of Christmas. It's always been a really big deal, particularly in my big Irish family. I remember myself and the three older brothers that shared my bedroom waiting until mum and dad had gone to bed and sneaking downstairs to see what Santa, or Father Christmas as we called him, had brought us. The jolly guy in the red suit always left some good stuff. And we thought we were like ninjas, we thought we were stealthy. But I remember the one year that one of my brothers fell down the stairs and went, "Ow, bump, ow, bump, bump, ow," all the way before landing with a thud, "ow," at the bottom. I've hurt myself saying my thuds now. So, all of us standing at the top of the stairs at that moment in unison went, "We still had the presence of mind to take this very seriously, as our family took Christmas very seriously." And I always went to my Baptist church, but it was really, on Christmas Day, was just the same service as normal with a few carols put in for good measure. The big celebration was always saved for Easter. Christmas was just there. The focus of that theology of church was always resurrection. Or rather, more accurately, what Jesus had done on the cross that was sealed by the resurrection, God's power bringing new life at Easter. It was always funny to me that they didn't really do Good Friday, considering that so much of the talk and the prayers, the music, the Bible readings, all seem to remind us again and again of how sinful we were and how we needed salvation, and that could only be brought by the death of Jesus. But I'm digressing. It always seemed to me, and even more with hindsight, that we were being reminded we weren't good enough. Only God could make it possible that we one day might be worthy of God's mercy and grace. It was all crucifixion in the hope of resurrection. And I get where that comes from. I don't want to open up a debate on theories of atonement, certainly not here this evening. There are plenty of conversations that have happened over the centuries with that. There's plenty of treaties, plenty of arguments, plenty of misunderstandings, and even violence over these varying interpretations, some of which you could say are inherently violent themselves. But I come back to that feeling that none of us was ever good enough. A theology rooted in this idea of sinfulness needing salvation is a theology that's always going to start with how flawed humanity is. But for now, my understanding is grounded here, in this celebration of incarnation. That God wanted so much to reach out to the world in love that God didn't send a representative, though there are plenty of those in Scripture. God didn't send a book, though we have our Holy Scriptures. God didn't send some kind of special effects team with a magical army, although there is actually a story in the Hebrew Scriptures of that. God loved the whole world so much, and I mean the whole created order, everything, this stuff of earth, that God sent God's very essence and being, which we call God's Son, to take on the very nature of humanity. God's breath, God's speech, God's word became flesh. Not just looked like or sounded like or could pass as, but became flesh. That's why this reading from John's Gospel, John chapter 1, called the prologue of John's Gospel, this night is so powerful and resonates so deeply within me. From this vast cosmic perspective of the Word, the creative Word, the Word before time, the Word that is the expression of God's very being, we move to the particular, the individual, the person who is Jesus the Christ, God made human, Emmanuel, God with us. And this flips the idea that humanity is somehow dirty, that flesh is somehow stained, that the nature of being human is at heart lacking and flawed, to saying that far from the idea of not being good enough, that humanity is indeed good enough. Good enough for God to want to be one of us. Good enough for God to want to be here, an infleshed human being. You are good enough. You are enough. Into a world that tells us again and again that we have to do things, we have to achieve things, we have to earn things, we have to be a certain way, to conform to a certain standard, to get more, to have more, to be more, to do more, to experience more, to make more money, own more stuff, make more friends, do more things. God steps into that rush and says, you are enough. You are loved. You are wanted. Our Christmas message, our message of incarnation, tells us this, if nothing else. You are enough. You are loved. You are wanted. Merry Christmas.